You are listening to Pastor Talk.
People understand why this sermon is being preached, why this song is being sung, why I'm going to go to this training, why, you know, just everything that we do is pushed towards, hey, we're going to be planting a church soon, or this is for the making of disciples who will end up planting a church or end up making other disciples.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Duren. Brian Bowman is the founding pastor of the Valley Life Churches in Phoenix, Arizona, where he lives with his wife, Brooke, and children, Bailey and Britton. And for those of you who are counting, that's 8 B initials in one household between 4 people. The Valley Life Churches exist to make disciples and plant churches throughout the Phoenix metro. Brian's on the podcast today because it's a small church that has started a church planting network. Interesting. Here's Brian Bowman in my conversation with him. Brian Bowman, welcome to Pastor Talk.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be here.
It is so good to have you. Tell us a little bit about who you are. You're not like a household name. Now, sometimes you're confused with people like Rick Warren and Bill Hybels, but not every day. Yeah. Not everybody knows who you are. So who are you?
I am a son of a pastor, Southern Baptist pastor, Oklahoma kid. My dad pastored all over Oklahoma and then some in the deep South, Alabama and Florida. So I grew up in the church and became a pastor myself and then eventually started planting these churches.
Awesome. And you're are you in Phoenix proper or are you in like some suburb?
I am barely considered Phoenix proper. I mean, I could almost throw a rock and hit out of town, but we are considered Phoenix way up north in the northern exurbs.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So is the airport to the north or the south?
The airport's south of me, south of downtown a little bit.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, as you know, and as I want our listeners to know, the main reason that I wanted you on this podcast today goes back to the very first time I ever met you, which was at a coffee shop here in Nashville. You were here in town with one of your friends, Cody, and yep. I found out that you guys were doing a church planting network, but you aren't a mega church. So how in the world does a small church pastor or even medium church pastor make the decision, hey, I'm not going to try to be a mega church. That happens great, but if not great, I want to plant churches. How's that
sure.
happen?
Yeah, not that we're against mega churches or anything like that, but we just don't happen to be one, you know. Our church is just a five-year-old church, and I guess how the network got started is as a result of how our church got started. I was just a pastor in Oklahoma of a very small church. I mean, a really small church in the sticks, rural Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And our little local association, our director of missions retired, and we put together a team to decide who we're going to get to replace the DOM. And in the course of trying to figure out who we were as an association, the whole group decided that these 40 churches could come together and plant another church. So then that got us thinking, well, where should a church be? You know, and we decided to get outside of the Bible Belt, but close enough that the Oklahoma churches could be involved mm-hmm. in the planting. And that kind of narrowed it down to Albuquerque or Phoenix.
Okay.
And then just through prayer and even connections, people we knew, you know, the different pastors in that association knew of, we ended up in Phoenix and decided to plant a church there. So, after, you know, picking the place, after even choosing the name and the location, had a theater under contract to rent out for the church, then they asked me, you know, would you consider resigning your church and going out and being the church planter? So I was happy to do it. My wife and I, we had planted a church before in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. So we came here, you know, right away, happy to do it. But because we were, you know, planted out of, 40 churches offering plates and their generosity, their mm-hmm. sense of mission and all that, we just felt like there's, you know, that was something that we caught really.
Yeah.
And that opened the door, I guess, to say, well, what if we did this again and again?
For our non-SBC listeners, I want to bring just one word of clarification. You referenced a DOM, a director of missions, and 40 churches. In 2 minutes, just explain for those not in a Southern Baptist context what that means.
It's like a little grouping of churches that voluntarily cooperate together in around maybe a city or in within a county, that kind of thing.
Okay. And there are 40 were 40 such churches in the association where your previous church was.
That's right.
When your director of missions retired or left or whatever, those churches got together and decided to plant a church. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, cool. How does leadership training differ when your goal out of the box is to plant churches, not just to grow yours as your main campus as big as you can get it, as fast as you can possibly get it there? How does leadership training, or how do you approach leadership training differently when your goal is to send more people out more quickly than reaching 5,000 and then decide you're going to plant a church?
Sure. I believe it puts a finer point on our leadership training. At least for me, it did. It gives me a goal to shoot at when I'm talking about leadership training. It's not just, you know, everybody should do this, but we probably know not very many are. The people who understand what Valley Life is for, what we're about, they understand that when I'm trained for something, I'm likely going to be using this. Either the leader that is currently in place will be leaving, or I may be leaving to go plant a church. So we worked really hard to define leadership. And we said a leader is an adult leading a group of adults to accomplish an objective. So whereas, you know, if I'm preaching a sermon, I'm doing a very important task. And yes, a lot of people are listening, but that I'm not actually leading a group of adults to accomplish something. Mm-hmm. So we pulled out importance doesn't necessarily mean leadership. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, you know, that sets the stage for then that person being able to be replicated. Whereas if you just have lots of important doers, that, you know, that's hard to replicate.
Yeah. How did, a lot of people hesitate, on the idea of planting a church or planting a church until they reach a certain size because they're concerned that it's going to, for lack of a better term, I'll say leech away members of their church. So if they're, you know, if there are 100 people and they say, well, if I plant a church and send 20 people, then it's going to damage the fellowship or the community or the camaraderie of the group that's left, and we may not be able to recover. Has the network, in your experience, helped or hurt the mothership?
It really puts an emphasis on the importance of everything that we do. So nothing really makes sense of what we do if it isn't for either the making of disciples or planting of churches. If it doesn't fit inside that very, very narrow vision, then we don't do it. So in that sense, and in a lot of other senses, really, it's helped us quite a bit. Mm-hmm. People understand why this sermon is being preached, why this song is being sung, why I'm going to go to this training, why, you know, just everything that we do is pushed towards, hey, we're going to be planting a church soon, or this is for the making of disciples who will end up planting a church or end up making other disciples. So it's helped us a lot. Now, we've sent away our best leaders. Of course, we see that in the book of Acts, and we feel safe in saying that that's the Lord's plan, at least for Valley Life. Mm-hmm. And our best leaders away, we sent our best givers away. When we start churches, when I first moved to Phoenix, take a look around, and I noticed that the hardest thing to get is worship leaders, good, solid leaders that you can count on. I talk with a lot of church planters, and everybody's kind of in the same boat. Number one, they want a worship leader, and they're looking for other leaders that they can count on. Mm-hmm. So what we did is said, well, let's our worship leader, once that was identified, and, you know, I kind of had to dig all that out of the dirt. But once that's done, I cast that vision to them and say, this is what your job is. It's not simply to lead us, but to make other adults leading groups of adults to accomplish a task so that we can then send them out.
Right.
Which puts a heavy importance on everything that we're doing. We're not just getting ready for Sunday. We're getting ready, you know, for the years to come in that way.
Now, the first church that you planted, now the network is Valley Life.
That's right.
And I'm assuming that refers to the region where you are. That's a nickname or an official name or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, people call this area the Valley.
Phoenix is the Valley. Okay. And so you are in, now, do you call the campus where you are Valley Life Phoenix, or is it a different suburb or a different community name?
little community name. It's Tremonto. So we're Valley Life Tremonto.
Okay. And then what was the first church you planted out of Valley Life Tremonto?
It was Valley Life Surprise. Surprise is a little, it's not really that little. It's a couple hundred thousand people in a town, and mostly known for spring training. That's where the Texas Rangers and Kansas City Royals do spring training.
Oh, Cactus League.
Yeah. Okay. So about 30 people started coming over. They were friends. They started driving about 30 minutes to come to Valley Life Tremonto for the sole purpose of, you know, first of all, they just liked it. And then they rounded up their friends and said, maybe we can have a church like this in Surprise.
Okay.
They knew that we wanted to plant church. We'd never done it, but we said it all the time. That's what we say. We're going to make disciples, plant churches. You know, I always said we were planted out of someone's offering plate. We want to plant churches out of our offering
plate.
That's
good.
So they said, well, maybe we can have a Valley Life Surprise. And I had no idea how we'd actually execute that. It was far earlier in the plan than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. I mean, in truth, there was about 130 people in our church. Mm-hmm. And then they started coming. And, you know, we had 150 people and we're planning to plant a church. And we had no idea how.
And you did you say it was 25 minutes away? Is that what you said, or did I misunderstand?
Yeah, it's about 30 minutes away.
Okay. And then the third church in the network is
Valley Life Arrowhead, another bedroom community.
Valley Life Arrowhead. Now, is it equidistant between Surprise and Tremonto?
It is. We formed sort of a 30-minute triangle. It's 30 minutes between all these places.
Okay. And so you planted the first campus when your church was hitting about 150, or the Tremonto campus was hitting about 150.
Yeah.
On a given Sunday, not like super high attendance day or something, but on a given Sunday, what will be the combined attendance of those three campuses at this point, knowing that this is still a new venture, right? I mean, you guys are what, three years in?
Yeah, we're 2 years into this thing.
Okay.
Arrowhead launched in January. Surprise launched the January before that.
Okay.
And then all told, there was 555 on this Sunday. You put them all together.
Okay, so realistically speaking, if you had not planted the two other campuses, realistically speaking, with taking into consideration your ability to reach the community that you were in at Tremonto, the available space, finances, all that, would you be running 550 on that main campus? You can just say yes if you think so, but realistically speaking, would you be running 550?
No, there's no way. We physically don't have the space to do that. We would be having to, you know, six services spread throughout the week to do that. We're in a tiny little space here. So that's part. And of course, we got into a tiny space knowing, hey, we're sending out people
right.
all the time, so we can do this.
Right. So in your it was already in your DNA, which is no small thing when you're able to start and say, this is what we're going to be about from day one, because everybody who shows up at the door realizes this is what we're about from day one. We don't have a heritage that we're trying to change. We have a DNA that we're shooting right into the gut of the thing right off the bat. So that's good. So is there a fourth campus already being prayed over somewhere? Have you got, you're laying your hand on the map every day?
We do lay our hand on the map all the time. We already have a fourth campus.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, we don't call them campuses, but that's just nomenclature. They're churches.
Okay.
And they can do whatever they want to do. They're all autonomous and all that stuff.
Okay.
But we have one near a university, Grand Canyon University.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. You've probably seen commercials on Grand Canyon University, but we have one at a church that's right there near the campus. So it's basically our college church. And we call that one Valley Life Camelback. The name of the street there is Camelback.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that the branding works with it all being Valley Life. I think that's a really cool touch. And I like the idea that you're planning churches, not just having multiple campuses, even though you're right, I did use a common phrase, but there is a distinction that's worth making there.
That's right.
Do you try to convince pastors of small churches not to try to be megachurch pastors? Are you like in the business of, hey, dude, y'all need to do what I'm doing?
No, not at all. We're so proud of the mega churches in our area. They've been helpful to us. The biggest one of the biggest churches in the country is here, Christ Church of the Valley, CCV.
Oh, yeah. I've been there before.
Yeah. They're fantastic, and they're open-handed with what they have. They run in a certain lane, mm-hmm. and I'm very glad that lane is covered. You know, mm-hmm. that mega church thing, they do a specific job. And they do a great job at it. That's not our lane.
Mm-hmm.
But they let us, you know, they let us take things. They gave us our first chairs. We sat in CCB chairs, you know, for a year here.
That's awesome.
But, you know, we have a different lane that we're supposed to run in. And I just came to the conclusion, this is just for me. And I've told other, you know, young guys this, but if I was meant to be Rick Warren or Matt Chandler or Tim Keller, I think I would already know by now.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I'm supposed to be, and I can help other guys who don't have this unique, rare gifting and calling to be a mega church pastor. We can help you get started. Our network is able to do a lot of the things that church planners find difficult. So that's why we have it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can preach and you can lead, but you find some of that, you know, the detail work, HR, insurance, bookkeeping, systems instructors, I wanted to make all that part easier for the guy who already can preach and lead.
So do you think, is there a specific reason or set of reasons you think why small networks or affiliations similar to Valley Life are starting to emerge in ways or at a pace that we would not have seen maybe 20 years ago?
Yeah, well, and you see a lot of it, of course. And I think it's just because of the, number one, the emphasis on church planting. It is the way that, you know, we're going to see America and the world reach just by establishing new congregations. And then the difficulty, at least in our culture, the difficulty of planting a church, because the necessary gifts and skills are so varied, you know, for a church planter, at least the kind that would drop into a new place, not knowing people, have to make friends, have to do all the back end admin stuff while also being sort of a charismatic leader.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wildly divergent set of gifts that not a lot of people have. And when you network together, you can lean over on, you know, some larger church or a larger combined group of churches that can do the branding, you know, that can combine their gifts and talents to do more than you would ever be able to do by yourselves.
I think it's important for some of our folks who will be listening who aren't in suburban areas, so they don't have a 200,000 bedroom community 30 minutes from where they are. They have a 2,000 county seat town, you know, sure, 20 minutes from where they are. And often when the conversation turns to church planting, even in a small scale, they're in a community where the churches average 75, and there isn't a next community to reach in that way. But even in a lot of those situations, there are demographically substantially different than what's in the church. There's almost always a a mobile home housing type of park or home area that the kids or the families don't attend church. They feel awkward about it or whatever. That could be an area where literally a church could be planted. You know, we're accustomed to running a bus or a van and picking up the kids and bringing them to our campus, but we don't always look at the possibility of going into that scenario and either finding someone, to use missional nomenclature, a man of peace or a woman of peace who'll host something, or, you know, a community room that's there, and actually plant the church that's there within walking distance for anybody who wants to come, where they barely even have to, you know, leave their homes and they can attend church rather than being picked up or driving across town. Not saying that nobody does that, but I don't want someone who's listening to think, well, I'm not close enough to even start, you know, a campus with 25 people and reach, you know, the multitudes, because we just don't have multitudes here. That doesn't mean something can't be done that resembles a church planting type of movement.
Absolutely. The thing that we imagine doing, and now we've, by God's grace, been able to see, is using the church to build people and not just using the people to build a church.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people, you know, use their, you know, their bones and their blood to make the machine run. And I thought, you know, when we plant this church, what if the church, you know, was a leader making machine, and we built these people up in order to send them out. And if that is to a, like you said, a trailer park next door or a small community, we use that church to build up people and send out missionaries. You know, once you define a mature Christian as someone who is discipling someone else, not just someone who is educated as a Christian,
mm-hmm,
but someone who is discipling someone else, then you get back to that viral nature of Christianity. It's mm-hmm. supposed to spread, you know, and when we don't do that, we lose the viral nature.
That's a great point. I love what you said. You're using the church to build the people instead of the people to build the church. And I think what I hear you saying there is, you're organizing in such a way that disciples are being made rather than depending upon people to prop up a structure that may or may not be effective.
Yes. Yeah. We hated the idea and still do hate the idea of building in churn. You know, you're just going to churn through some people. Some people are going to get burnt out. Some people are going to leave. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, there can be room for more leaders. If you're building leaders, mm-hmm. there can be room for other churches if you're building churches.
Mm-hmm. Does the pastor have to set aside any kind of fear or concern that that someone's going to raise up with better gifts and, you know, more talented speaker or whatever, or maybe they've got some better organizational ability, or maybe they're just more personable than the planting pastor? Does the planting or sending pastor have to come to a point where they're like, hey, this is just who God made me to be, and if he raises up somebody that's more skilled or talented than I am, and you know, people want to go be a part of that, then I'm good with that because it's the kingdom. Shouldn't we be reaching that point?
Oh, yeah. Our second church that we planted, the Arrowhead Church, we did it a little differently, and we liked this way better. We brought the planter here, mm-hmm. Let him go to church, just simply go to church in Tremonto for about a year. And, of course, you have to work out the finances.
That's just so you could count him in your attendance. I know what that's all about.
That's right. Add that family in. But we gave him a hunting license and said, you can pick the best leaders, make friends with them. Mm-hmm. And when we did that, that's exactly what happened. Our best leaders got glued into that family. And when it was time to go plant Arrowhead, you know, we got emptied out. Mm-hmm. So we had to then pick up the pieces and say, okay, where are we now? But as we started seeing, you know, what's going to happen, let's see what happens as the weeks begin to go by once that church launched. We were able to see that the churches then that we had planted, there were more people in them than the church that we planted originally.
Wow.
And that's cause for celebration.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
So let me ask you this. When a new church is planted, I almost said campus again. When a new church is planted, so you have four, when the fifth church is planted, is there a specific one of the Valley Life churches that one will primarily come out of, or will some people come from all of the churches, or is it now at the point where all of the churches are saying, we're just going to plant as many Valley Life churches as God opens the door for us to plant, and it doesn't really matter what order we're going in?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what order we're going in. Then we can already see where the next one's going to come from. One of the churches we planted has a guy attending there who's been called by the Lord to plant. So we're all pouring into him. You know, all the pastors of the churches are pouring into him using our different gifts. You know, some of us are more personal. Some of us are better at training, but we're all using our gifts to pour into him. And then we'll all let him preach, let people get to know him, give him a hunting license, help him pick a spot. And then, you know, like a mom and a dad celebrating a kid, you don't say which one, you know, who gets to celebrate this child. Mm-hmm. We'll all celebrate.
That's awesome. Now, if somebody's listening who's like, man, I just need to get some more of this and hear somebody talk about this into my life and begin to process what this would look like where I'm pastoring, is there a way folks can get a hold of you that you're not ashamed to give out?
Oh, yeah. You can always go to valleylife.church. And then my email address is bbowman@valleylife.church.
All right. That's valleylife.church. And I'm going to assume our listeners can spell church. My guest today has been Brian Bowman talking about church planting networks out of small churches. Man, I am so glad you were able to be here.
I am too. I enjoyed it.
I look forward to talking to you again. Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duran. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duran.